Welcome to Chapter 8. This is where we get personal with the personal pronouns. Now, so far we've covered the verb, present active indicative at least. We've got some nouns, the two and two, or the masculine, feminine, and neuter nouns we can work with. We've got prepositions, and we've got some adjectives to modify. And now the personal pronouns, which will stand in for nouns and other syntactical units. Well, let's begin. What is a pronoun, anyways? A pronoun is a word that stands in place of a noun or other syntactical units. Those syntactical units may be something as simple as a noun phrase, a clause, a whole sentence, or even sometimes a paragraph or a section of text is summarized and pulled down into a pronoun. An example of this is Zach threw the ball to Elliot. It, referring back to the ball, a noun phrase, hit him. Him, a pronoun, referring back to Elliot. And so here, it and him fill in for the ball and Elliot. So this is an example of how the pronouns work in English. Now, the pronouns are very varied, and so I just want to introduce six types of pronouns at this point. There's actually more than that, but just so you can get a feel for the varied functions of the different types of pronouns. First of all, there's the personal pronouns, and that's what we'll be studying in Chapter 8 here. Things like me, you, he, she, it, they refer to personal beings and objects. So, for example, she, the personal pronoun, rode the train. A second type of pronoun is called the demonstrative pronouns. And these are pointer pronouns. They refer to when something's close, this, and when something's further away, that. An example of this would be this spike belongs to that student, where this and that are demonstrative pronouns. Now, the relative pronouns are who and which. So, for example, it is a great person who attempts to master Greek. The who is a relative pronoun. So, relative pronouns relate things, clauses and other things, to each other. Reciprocal pronouns are things like one another. An example would be, they loved one another, where there's a reciprocation back and forth. So what we're looking at here are personal pronouns, demonstrative pronouns, relative pronouns, and reciprocal pronouns, and this chapter will focus only on the personal pronouns. We'll come back to the others later. A couple other types of pronouns are the reflexive pronouns, things like himself, herself, itself. So, for example, we have the sentence, she hid herself in the closet. Herself refers back to she. She hid herself. That's called a reflexive pronoun. The final type that we're going to look at now is the interrogative pronouns. And these are the pronouns that ask questions, things like who or what. So who took my keys? The who is an interrogative pronoun because it's an interrogative. It asks a question. So these are the six types: personal pronouns, which we're going to study in this chapter, demonstrative pronouns, relative pronouns, reciprocal pronouns, reflexive pronouns, and now interrogative pronouns. But right now, let's focus on the personal pronouns. In English, the personal pronouns come in three cases. The subject case, or what we would call in Greek the nominative case, things like he, she, it, or they. There is a possessive case, so the he switches to his, possessive of he, hers, possessive of she, and their as possessive of they. So an example is, the bike was hers. In English, we have also an objective case. So he goes to him when it's the object of the sentence. She goes to her as the object of the sentence. And they go to them as the object of the sentence. So a sentence would be, he, subject type pronoun, took them, or objective type, to the store. So these three types of cases are associated with our English pronouns, and of course Greek will add the dative pronoun as well. To me, to him, to her, to them. You can see using the objective case with the preposition to or for or by with at to trigger the dative. Our first person personal pronoun is ego, from which we get our word ego. In the nominative, it's ego. And you might wonder, why do we need a nominative pronoun if the pronoun is embedded in the verb, like luo means I loose? Why would we need a nominative personal pronoun? Well, sometimes it's used for emphasis. A lot of times when it's placed in a narrative, it's to contrast with something else. And so they put the ego with the verb in noting some sort of contrast or change, or a change of person, referring back to someone who was formerly mentioned in the narrative or something. Sometimes it's just not a matter of emphasis, which it is sometimes, but sometimes it's just a matter of redundancy. So be careful about getting locked into one perspective on why the personal pronoun is used in the nominative. It can be used for emphasis, for switching characters, focusing on a particular individual, for contrast types of things. So there's several reasons that it can be used. Now, that's ego. That's our nominative. The genitive form is mu. You can see the omicron upsilon ending, similar to what we had in logos. Moi is the dative singular, means to or for, at, by, with, me. And then the accusative is me, which is actually spelled just about the same way as our English me is spelled. Now in the plural, there's a change of form. And so we've got heimeis being the plural we, first person plural we, heimon being the first person plural genitive, our, heimin, meaning two by four with at us, the dative plural, and heimas, meaning us, in the accusative. So this is our first person plural pronoun, and it'll be used quite frequently. The emphatic forms for the singular genitive dative accusative are emu, emoi, emme. You'll notice there's an epsilon added onto the front, and they also have an accent, so they're not proclitic. These are called the emphatic forms of the first-person personal pronoun, and you'll notice they just come in the singular genitive dative accusative. Here's the second-person personal pronoun. It's the pronoun su, for you. The nominative form is su. The genitive form is su, omicron, upsilon, similar to lagu. The dative form is soy. The accusative form is se. That's for the singular. Now, in the plural, you'll notice it's similar to the first person plural, only this is humes, you plural, whereas the first person plural, do you remember, was heimes, we. So it's the difference between heimes with the eta and humes with the upsilon. Basically, it just switches from an upsilon to an eta. In this case of the second person, it's an upsilon. Humon is the genitive plural, it's your. Humin is the dative plural, 2x4 at with you. And humas is you plural in the accusative. So this is the second person personal pronoun, su. Here are some examples of how these personal pronouns are actually used.
Ego eimi to phos, tou kosmou.
I am the light of the world. Second example is ti me leges
agathon.
Why do you call me good? You see how the me is fronted in front of the verb, even though it's the object. The third example is kago de soy lego
hoti su e petros.
But I also said to you that you are Peter. And you can see the kago and I. Then the de is postpositive, so you pull that up front. But I also said to you, soy, to you.
Hoti.
Is that. Su is you. A means our Peter. So you can get a sense of how these personal pronouns are used in actual sentences. Here are a couple examples using the parsing format or the declension format for the personal pronouns. Generally, you give the person, the case, and the number, followed by the root, and then translate the form that you've got. So our first example is mu. It's a first-person genitive singular from ego, meaning my. Soy is a second person dative singular from su, meaning to you. So this is just a format that you use for declining these personal pronouns. The personal pronouns are the most frequent pronouns, being used well over 10,000 times, while the next nearest type of pronoun is used only about 1,600 or 1,700 times.
Autos
is the most frequent of the personal pronouns by far. The original use of this
autos
form was as an intensive, but in Hellenistic Greek came to be used as the third person, which is what we'll see in the New Testament. It is the most frequently used and also has a great variety of usages, as it retains sometimes its intensive use as well as being used for the third person personal pronoun. Now here are the forms of
autos,
which is he.
Autos.
He, autu, the genitive, his, auto, 2x4 at with him, for the dative, singular.
Auton.
For him, the accusative. The plural forms are autoi, they, nominative plural. Auton, genitive plural, their. Autois, to them, dative plural. And autus, them, accusative plural. You'll notice that the endings are the standard
logos,
second declension endings. So there's really nothing to learn other than the nominative form, and then it declines the same way as
logos,
which is nice. The third person feminine singular is the form aute, means she. The nominative singular is aute. The genitive singular is autes, meaning hers. The dative singular is aute, to or for her. The accusative singular is autein, her. The nominative plural is autai, meaning they. Auton is the genitive plural, meaning their. Autais is the dative plural, meaning to or for by with at them. Autas is the accusative plural, meaning them. So this is the feminine form. You'll notice that the endings are exactly the same as graphe. Thus, the autas form follows a 2-1-2 pattern. Second declension, first declension for the feminine, and then back to second declension for the neuter. Which is next? The third person personal pronoun for the neuter, it, is
auto.
The nominative form is
auto.
The genitive singular is auto, means its. The dative singular is auto, meaning to or for it. The accusative singular is
auto,
meaning it. The nominative plural is auta, meaning they. The genitive plural is auton, meaning there. The dative plural is autois, to or for them. The accusative plural is auta, meaning them. You'll notice that once again, we have the same form in the nominative and the accusative. The
auto
matches the accusative
auto.
The nominative plural auta matches the accusative plural auta. And then you'll also notice that the genitive dative forms of both the singular and the plural also exactly match the masculine forms that are found under
autos.
The forms for the neuter are basically declined the same way that
hieron
is, except in the nominative singular and accusative singular, which use
auto,
dropping the noon that's in
hieron,
which is reminiscent of the article, which in the neuter takes a
toe
instead of a
tone,
the nominative and accusative. So this is the masculine, feminine, and neuter forms
autos,
aute,
auto,
for he, she, and it. There are three uses of the word
autos.
Because of its background not originally being the third-person personal pronoun, it was an intensifier, but then came to be used as the third-person personal pronoun in Hellenistic Greek, it has brought over some extra usages that we've got to be aware of. The first is as a pronoun, as a third-person personal pronoun. And so, in the example, lege auto
ho
Jesus, Jesus said auto to him, simply used as the third person personal pronoun in the dative form in this case. A second usage that the
autos
can be put to is the reflexive intensifier. So be she herself. This is usually when it's found in the nominative, and it's used in a predicate type of manner, that is, without the article, but it's usually nominative, so you can tell. So here's an example. Jesus
autos
ouk ebaptizen. It means Jesus himself, Jesus
autos,
did not baptize. And so you see the
autos
following the Jesus in the nominative case being used as a reflexive intensifier. The third usage to which
autos
can be put is as an adjective meaning same. Usually in the attributive position, meaning it has the article, and it's used in an adjectival relationship to the noun. So, for example, you have he aute sarx, the same flesh. So, he aute here, meaning the same. Now we're ready for the personal pronoun chant number 5. And this will cover the first person, second person, and third person personal pronouns. It's kind of like a cow call. So it begins,
ego mu moime su susoise hemes hemon hemin hemas autos aute auto.
You try that again.
Ego mu moi me su susoi se heimes heimon heimin heimas autos aute auto.
And one final third time, our cow call for the personal pronouns.
Ego mu moi me su susoi se heimes heimon heimin heimas autos aute auto.
Now there's only one thing we've got to remember. In the second person plural, in order to get the plural, you've got to shift the heimes, heimon, heimin, heimas to a humes, humon, humin, humas. So you've got to switch from the eta to an upsilon. And then you've got first person, second person, and you've got the start for the third person, which is simply a 2-1-2.
Logos.
Graphe.
Hieron.
Type of thing, just dropping the noon off of the accusative singular and nominative singular form of
auto.
So this is kind of a fun chant, picturing yourself out in the field calling the cows in. Two final details to keep track of with these personal pronouns are that many of the first person and second person singular forms are enclitic, that is, they take no accent of their own. Sometimes when they don't take the accent, the word preceding will get a second accent. So if you ever see a word with two accents followed by a mu moi me or a su soi se, it's an enclitic and the preceding word takes a second accent then. So the enclitic forms are mu moi me, su soi se. And we should just be aware of that as they sometimes affect the preceding word as they are enclitics. They follow the word that they go with. The second thing we should keep track of is that sometimes the first and second person pronoun are accented if they are the first word in the sentence or for emphasis. An epsilon may be added to the front of first person singular pronoun as well. And so instead of mu moi me, you'd have emu, emoi, eme, oftentimes either for emphasis or as the first word of the sentence. Now for the vocabulary of Chapter 8. The first word is
autos a-o,
and it means he, she, or it. The second word is gay, and it means land, earth, or region. The third word is ego, hey mace, and it means I and we. The fourth word is hemera, and it means day. Our fifth word is
hoti,
and it means that or so that. The sixth word is un, and it means so, then, or therefore. The seventh word is
oklos,
and it means crowd. The eighth word is para, and it means from with the genitive, beside with the dative, and alongside beside with the accusative. So it, like epi, is a three-case preposition. The ninth word is su, humes, and it means you and you plural. And our tenth word is
hupo.
And it means by, at the hands of, with the genitive, and under, below, with the accusative.